Fighters, it's time for the Thursday Q&A episode here on the Contractor Fight Podcast. We take your questions and we answer them here on the show. Send your questions to help@thecontractorfight.com with the subject line podcast to get your questions in front of us. Tom and I will pick the questions that are the most relevant to the people here in the fight. You guys rock. Let's do this.
Fighters, before we dig into the Q&A episode, we see here on our end so many questions that come in about making more money. And I just want to give you guys a resource if you don't already have it. And it's our 50% gross profit sheet. All right, listen, the fastest way to put more money in your pocket right now in your business is to raise your gross profit. And we show you how to do that. So if you head to thecontractorfight.com/50, fill out your name and your email, you'll have instant access to this and you'll be on your way to making more money. So go grab that right now. Let's get on with the Q&A episode here today. Welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast Q&A edition. I'm with Dan Sherwood. We're hanging out here. What's up, man?
How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing rather splendidly. Thank you. So let's dig in. We have a couple questions here today. One's about the economy and one is about how to compete with big companies in your area, blah, blah, blah. The first is from Armando. Any forecast if at all the bottom will fall out of this economy, forcing subs and generals to scramble? So basically, you know, I'm reading that like, Tom, you know, predict the future. Right. And guys, I don't know. I will say that, you know, I believe we're in a recession right now as of August 31st, just because of the definition of what a recession is for the last 1,000 years hasn't changed until the current administration decided to change it. And so the first thing is understand, guys, that ups and downs in the economy are natural and they're supposed to happen. I don't know how old Armando is, Dan, but you and I have been through the ringer a few times and seen a few recessions and stuff. And you guys, I know a lot of contractors don't like to hear this right now, but these past few years up until this current last year and a half or so, year and a half, the current 6-8 years, you guys, has been
gold rush.
Easy. It's been easy to make money in business. And I'm sorry, I say this all the time. If you weren't making money in the last 6-8 years as a business owner, you suck at it. All right. I'm just sorry. You suck. And you need to level up your skills or you need to quit and go work for somebody else.
Because
guys, it's only going to get more difficult now. And the reason it's going to get more difficult now for some of you is you haven't been developing the habits of what a successful business owner does with their time and their energy and their focus. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like building your brand and always hiring and always marketing and pricing right. All the things that we've been talking about for years in the fight, those that are, they're going to take the big hit right now are the ones that were falsely manipulated by the good economy into thinking they're a good business owner. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like a lot of people in a good economy, you guys, everybody's a hero, right? Like, you know, I was at one point, like way back in the early 2000s, you guys, when I first started, I'm like rolling in money and I'm thinking I'm some great business owner. No, the economy was just really strong. And so a time like this is really when you're exposed. We're all exposed on what kind of business we've been building. So Armando, I can't predict the future, but all I can say is this stuff's natural. It's going to happen and control what you can control. I personally, and Dan, I know you're the same way. We have a saying here with it. Well, I'll just own my crap here. I know I'm bouncing all over, but I'm just going to own my crap. A couple weeks ago, we had a day, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. We had a day. So every day in our CRM, guys, you know, we check our daily sales, right? Like any company should do. You should know what you sell every day, how much money comes in, and did we ring the register and this and that. And we've gone well over a year. You know, the streak is still going. It's, you know, 400 or 500 days now where we've had a deposit every day for at least 400 or 500 days, whatever it is, right? We've had deposits. We have no goose eggs for, you know, a year and a half, whatever it's been. But we had this day where we had like, it was embarrassing. It was like $3,000 or something that came into the business. It was some pathetic number, right? I remember calling Neil, and those that don't know, Neil's our CEO here in the fight. I called Neil and I go, dude, yesterday's sales number was awful. He's like, I know, it sucked. He's like, we'll turn it around. And I go, I said something, Dan, like, I wonder if the recession's really starting to hit the industry or something like that. And like, I went there in my mind, and Neil called me out. We're on the phone and he goes, Tom, we don't participate in recessions. Do you remember this? This is what you coach all the time. And I'm like, all right, my bad. You got me. I'm going to change that mindset. So Armando, choose not to participate. You don't have to be part of the recession. Of course, there's conditions and circumstances all around you, and people are going to be running for the hills and, you know, shrinking back and constricting their businesses and playing it safe and not invest. But you don't have to participate in that. And that's why this is a time for you to step on the gas and build the crap out of your business. Dan, thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, the future has been here all season. I've seen people, subs and GCs, dropping their pants on prices all season long. And that's really a symptom of they're not speaking to the right. The clients I attract and the ones I've cultivated for my business aren't affected. They're affected by the economy because their investments are going up and down. But day to day, it doesn't matter. They're going out to nice restaurants. They're still taking their boat out for $3,000 boat rides and all this crap they're doing, because it's just a speed bump for them. So they'll shift your ideal client to the people at the top of the economy that don't care about the price of gas. I still fill my Raptor up at $5 a gallon and drive like a tool because I don't care, you know? And so there's people out there, so just cater to the right market.
100%, guys. You don't have to participate. It's a reality. I'm not saying it's not a reality. And you know, some people are struggling and things like that. But guys, let me close on this with this recession question or economy question. The beauty of being a business owner, you guys, you get to write your own ticket. Yep. Okay. You don't have to cut your pay. You can raise your prices. You should raise your prices in a time like this, because most people aren't calling people back. They're hiding. They're playing it safe. And like Dan said, there are plenty of people out there that would be extremely happy to pay your prices and have you on site. So, all right. That leads to the next question here. Kinda. Karen in the Facebook group asked, how to compete in a market with the two largest companies in the area, and they're reducing prices by 30 to 40% under market rate. And I understand that this is a race to the bottom. So she's like, the two biggest companies in the area, right? Mm-hmm. They're dropping their shorts, so to speak. Yeah, that's the first question here. And she's like, how do I compete with that? So what are your thoughts on that? I go first every time. I'll let you go first.
One, it's again, we're kind of revisiting the market rate thing, which to me doesn't exist. Let's just sell into pure commodity like toilet paper or something. Even that's got tons of price points. But a lot of these big companies I see, I deal with some franchises that are in the area, and they're marking things down just like an auto dealer marks things down. They're still making plenty of price. So just because they're selling on discount doesn't mean that they're actually undermining what the sales prices of products or services are. So like we always talk about, it's like build the brand, build value, key in on what your customer really wants. Those big companies sometimes, not always, can be tone deaf because they're just steamrolling, running their systems, and be different. Yeah, I just don't worry about those big. Tesla doesn't worry about General Motors or
right
group. You know, they just do their thing.
Yeah. So Karen, I think the first thing is you don't know their overhead. You don't know their pricing structure. You don't know, unless you know, but chances are you don't know all these things about that company. And here's an example. During the last recession in 08, one of our competitors, Dan, they dropped their prices to like $40 a man hour in the field. They were a painting company. We were at 90. Okay. They used to be at like 50 or 60 a man hour. However, here's what a lot of people don't understand about these bigger companies. And I'll just use, all right, I'm billing out at 90 an hour. They drop their rates to 40 an hour. Okay. You look at that and you go, oh my God, how can they stay in business? Well, the piece of the puzzle that I understood at the time is they had 110 guys in the field. Okay. So when they were charging 55, 60 an hour, they were making, you know, total bank of like 60% gross profit margin. When they dropped it to $40 an hour, and I know the owner, he was a good dude, and we had these conversations. Okay. Because I'm like, dude, how can you do this? And he's like, Tom, I have over 100 guys in the field to spread out my overhead costs with. So right. Guys, that's what I'm saying. You have to mind your own business in that sense, right? And so, but we still haven't answered the question, how do I compete with this, right? Ask Karen. So Karen, this is where I would treat your business like more of a boutique, you know, that we, you know, you play that service card better than anyone else. You make your unique selling proposition, the way you pre-plan a job, the way you show up and you see things through with people and stuff. Like, these are the things I think that can really set you apart. And the other one, Dan, maybe you could speak to this, is just starting, set yourself apart and compete in the sales process with the right conversations that differentiate you.
Yeah, that's like going the Shin Fu, with the whole Shin Fu pre-qual process is on. It's like we always say, people buy for their reasons, not ours. And just key in, drag them across their own emotions during the sales process and lead them to the point where they think you're the only solution to their problem or the best solution to their problem.
Yep. Yeah, because I can hear Karen going, Tom, this is all great. But when they go, Karen, your price is 10 grand and ABC is, you know, 6 grand, you know, what do I do with that?
I'm 100% more than some of my competitor bids I see around me, you know, because I use subs and like the other prices are my cost of goods and I can still convert them because I'm delivering what they want. We have a different experience and we're catering to a very specific people. So, yeah, I just, big companies are kind of easy to move around.
They're
slow to turn, you know, it's just like find your niche.
Well, big companies, they also take for granted, you know, some things, meaning and I'm not ripping on big companies because I, you know, at every level there's challenges, right? But like, I think you're in a position when you're smaller, like to pay attention to some of the details and the more personal experience. Here's a great example. You can go stay at, well, we got married a couple weeks ago, a couple Saturdays ago here in the Springs. Dan, you were here. It was cool. The resort we stayed at kind of pissed me off in some ways. Okay. One of the ways was we had the presidential suite, which is, you know, the queen and I had it for several days. Dude, when we checked in, there was, this is the big company versus a small company mentality I'm going to share with you guys. We checked in and we get to our room. The first thing was there was no clear signage where it was. So it was a pain in the butt to find. We literally wandered around for 15 minutes before I called the hotel. And I was like, where the hell's the room? Right. So that's number one. Number two, we get to the room and we open the door. It's pitch black. All the curtains are closed. There's no lights on. There's no like, I mean, guys, for our wedding, you know, let's, I don't know, 30, 40 grand we dropped to be there. Something like that. So you'd think there'd be like a note in the room. Hey, congrats on the wedding, or a little gift basket or a bottle of wine or so. There was none of that.
Right.
None of that. And we walked in and she looks at me and she's like, this place is like $700 a night or whatever the hell the room was. And she's like, man, we've gotten a better reception at a $300 Airbnb, you know? So that's why Airbnb, you guys, and Turo and those types of companies are kicking the butts of the car rental companies and the hotels and stuff because of the personal touch. So Karen, yeah. I encourage you to think that way. Okay. So like, for instance, Turo, it's a car rental thing. If you guys don't know, it's like Airbnb for cars. I was talking to Chris Dwyer yesterday. We had coffee and we were talking about Turo and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, if I were doing Turo, I'd find out why they're coming to town, why they need the car and all this other stuff. And let's say somebody's coming in for their daughter's graduation party or whatever it is, or college graduation or something. I would put some sort of gift in the vehicle that was connected to the thing they're here for. Right?
Yeah.
Hey, we're here for our 20th wedding anniversary and we just wanted to come to the mountains and hang out. Well, in the car, there'd be a card, happy anniversary, and there'd be a bottle of wine.
Yeah, load the GPS to the places they're going to, you know?
Exactly. So
you hit the freaking button and you know where you're at.
So Karen, you can kick the butts of these bigger companies when you dial in that personal experience. So hopefully that makes sense.
Just go head to head with them. Just find where they're failing and work around them. It's the way everything to everybody. There's a good question from Scott McDowell, just quickly circling back on what you said. What was your strongest attribute which helped you survive or even thrive during the 08 recession? And for you, I think it comes down to this, your favorite word, which is attack. And you know, a lot of people shrink when they get in these situations. And I always fall back on the Kellogg's versus Post and the Great Depression. You know, Post was the big monolith and Kellogg's was small, and Post stopped advertising and Kellogg's went crazy with their advertising. They've been number one ever since. That's how I got through 08. How'd you deal with that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Attack was certainly the mentality that we had, like run into the punch and let's not hide. And this is most people shrink back. Let's do the opposite. But I would say with that, Scott, it was total transparency and no BS with our team. I remember sitting down, my partner at the time sat down, and we chose to move out of our expensive office into literally the basement of the same building. We were renting a space and, you know, we were paying $1,500 a month, which isn't a lot, but we were paying like $1,500 a month or whatever for rent. Ended up moving years after that and bought a building and whatever. But this was, and we moved into the basement and paid $250 a month. Because we didn't need a big office, right? We just had our office manager and stuff. And so when we moved out of the main space of the office, we had a company meeting there and all the furniture was gone, right? And so we sat on the floor and I remember just going, guys, this is a recession. This stuff happens. We're making a couple moves. So my partner and I, we reduced our pay by 30%. And then we reduced everyone's hourly pay by 20%. And everyone's eyes got really big, like, oh my God, right? But then I said, but guys, here's the thing, because there's a part two to this. The first thing I want you guys to understand is I believe that we're stronger together than we are apart. However, I understand if this doesn't work for you and you got to move on, you do what you got to do to take care of your family. I totally respect that. No hard feelings, right? I said, but with the reduction of the hourly rate, we implemented what we call and what we coach now our crew leader management fee, which put the power back in them based on their production on the job and no callbacks and higher GP and hitting the targets. They could actually earn more money, but it was just in their court instead of just an hourly rate. And it ended up doing really well. So Scott, I think it's really, when times are bad, that is really when our people see what we're made of as a leader.
Yeah.
You know? And so I would encourage you to, like, you know, a lot of people talk about, hey, we're a family business and, you know, like a family around here and blah, blah, blah. But the first sign of adversity, you bail on everybody, that's a problem. So, yeah. You know, and then I think, you know, one other thing here, Scott, that I would say, and kind of goes with the attack mindset, is I would get everybody in the company trained how to sell, how to prospect, how to show them, like, hey man, we're all in this together. Let's row in the same direction. This is the best time to level up skills. This is the best time because most will not do it. Okay. This is the best time. Like, I know I'm tooting our own horn with Mile High and our sales training, but guys, like Dan was talking about with Post and Kellogg's, right? You know, Kellogg's decided to invest while Post shrunk back. And I promise you, you guys, when you are hungry to grow and get better invested, that money will come back to you 1,000 times over in the next decade.
Yeah. And the personnel thing is good because everyone's like, you know, you feel as business owners, we feel vulnerable, right? With the economy.
Yep.
Think about it. We have moves. We can do what we want a lot more compared to our employees. And when you show them one that you understand their feeling of vulnerability, but then give them, like you did, opportunities to grow and improve their financial situation, just gives them some of the control back, maybe in a situation they feel out of control.
Yep. All right, guys, appreciate you hanging us with us here today. We're going to wrap up this episode of the Contractor Fight Podcast. Give us a rating, give us a review. Appreciate you all listening and being part of the fight. You guys rock. We got to roll. Hey, fighters, hopefully you got some value today from the Q&A episode and that you learned something that you can apply in your business. If you have a question, send an email to help@thecontractorfight.com. And in the subject line, put the word podcast and we will get that question. We'll answer it on air for you. And also, don't forget to share this with another contractor. Give us a review on iTunes, wherever you listen to this. Super appreciate you hanging out with us here today. You guys rock. We got to roll. We're out.